Hello, and thank you for joining Iota Phi Lambda Sorority Incorporated, Epsilon Phi Podcast with Professionals. This is our business month, and we are here to inform our listeners about the ABCs of generational wealth. Business Month is one of our sorority's national programs where our theme is business and professional women building the foundation for generational financial empowerment. So with that being said, we hope we can enlighten and educate someone to move forward in starting their generational wealth for their family. Today, we have Ms. LaSasha Bell, who is a woman living with a purpose. She is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, certified sleep science coach, certified mindful informant clinic level one, and a certified clinic anxiety treatment professional. While she has 13 years in counseling field, Ms. Bell has considered herself a mental advocate for over 20 years. Help me to welcome Ms. Bell to our professional podcast. Hello, Ms. Bell. How are you doing today?
Morning. I am doing well. Yes. And it's LaShasta. I know it's a mouthful and it gets to be hard. It is okay. But I am doing great and I am happy to be here to share on information about business and generational wealth and legacy.
Thank you, Ms. Bell. And I do apologize for that. You know, you it's and okay. I, we both have unique names.
It is quite all right. You can call me Shasta for short if you like, or you could continue with Ms. Bell. It's fine either way.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So tell us, how did you get into the field of counseling?
Oh, goodness. I think it found me before I found it. As a teenager and even through young adulthood, there was often times where individuals and family members and friends would come to me with questions and ask me for advice. And I would look at them like, why are you asking me? Like, what makes you think that I have the answer? But I've always been a person of resource and compassion and just wanting to help. If I could, I would just jump in and help. Or if someone asked for help, I was willing to help. And as that continued, I found myself working in the field of social work and then in school counseling. And well, before that, I was a self-contained behavior teacher for special education. So for years, I've worked in the capacity of behavior, and it just kept feeling like I was only putting a Band-Aid on the situation. Like in the school, you help the kids well enough for them to get to through their school day. And I kept having this kind of yearning of let's do more, let's make a greater impact. And that led me to the field of counseling because I could really help the individuals and the families get to the root of the problem and not just put a Band-Aid on it. And from there, that's what led me to speaking and coaching, because once again, it's on a bigger platform, it's a broader reach, but it's still helping others to figure out what's going on with them and to be the best version of themselves.
Yes, ma'am, that's great. And through that platform, you decided to start your own business of being a counselor yourself. And so with that being said, becoming a counselor and having your own business, starting a business can be a little stressful. And so we want to inform our listeners, you know, even though we want to start that business of generational wealth, how do you maintain the stress and the health issues that come about?
Well, yes, starting a business can be stressful. One, it's important that you're clear on what it is that you want to do and use your resources around you, including your support system through family and friends. And sometimes that support system in the beginning are like-minded that are on the same journey, because not always will family and friends understand what you're doing, especially when, like for me, I was a school counselor. I quit my job a couple years after starting my practice to do my practice full time. Some people didn't understand, how do you go from this good job to a business that you're uncertain that will make money? So leaning in on your support system, having like-minded people around you, that within itself will help to decrease the stress, because you can brainstorm with the like-minded people. You can go to your support system when you need a change of environment from the hustle and bustle of building the business. And instantly that should help decrease your stress and improve your health. But also you have to prioritize and create a harmony between the grind till we die, which I do not believe in. How about we grind and live by sleeping and resting and creating harmony between the two?
Yes, ma'am. When you started your counseling business, did you feel that it was the start of generational wealth for your family?
I didn't think of it that way, to be honest. Initially, it's really more so about helping the community and being able to honestly do what I love on my own terms. Like, I love working with the kids and working with the families, but I couldn't do that the way I wanted to in the school system. Now, as I progress, March makes 10 years that I've been in private practice. Over that time, I've realized how to build the company from me being the solo practitioner to it being a group practice to create opportunity for family legacy and wealth.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That sounds very interesting. Have you, once you started your business, have you spoken to your family about the business? And maybe, I know you have a son, Kevin. Have you spoken to Kevin to say, hey, Kevin, this is something that I'm building for our family. Would you be interested in it?
Oh, absolutely. Our family talks about goals and dreams realized all the time. It's part of our regular everyday conversation. I have two bonus daughters that's 26 and 24. And we've even talked to them about like, what companies do you start? What do you want to do for yourself that you love? And I have talked to him about it. And interestingly enough, it wasn't until I was doing my business estate planning that I realized that my company is not a company that I could just pass on to family. Mm-hmm. Like, so because it takes a professional license to have a private practice in the state of Texas. So there are some professions you could only have a business with a professional license. And so we had that conversation and it set up where my family would still benefit from the wealth and from the company that I've built, but it would not stay in the family unless it went to another licensed mental health professional. So my sister is a licensed mental health professional also. So she's ridden into the estate planning. But since then, in the last year and a half or so, my son he'll be a senior next year. And he started to realize that he enjoys the mental health capacity of things. And so with no pressure from me, because we tell him, be what you want to be. You define your own type of success. He's decided that he does want to go in the mental health profession. So indeed, if he chose to, I Choose Me could still be a family legacy and a company that's passed on for generations.
Yes, ma'am. That is wonderful. And that's what we want our listeners to know, is that even it doesn't matter what type of business you start, that the business that you start, if you communicate that well with your children and your family, that can start generational wealth from time to come. Let's go back to your practice of being a counselor and helping others with, you know, stress and anxiety and depression. Do you feel that stress in starting a business, and how do you feel like our listeners can handle that when starting their business? How can they handle the stress and anxiety and the depression once they start their business?
Well, once again, I'm going to go back to that support system, but also having understanding that your timeline is your timeline. A lot of times we get in this space of wanting to compare what we're doing to what others are doing, and just realizing you get to pace. Like, as the business owner, you get to pace what you do and when you do, and being really in touch with yourself and what you need, and having a mental health professional. Like, I believe everybody needs a therapist. And not when things are hard and stressful, but just day to day, because stress is not a terrible thing. Worry is not a terrible thing. Anxiety is not a terrible thing. They are all natural and they have their own positive function in small doses. However, when we let it linger over time, that's when it becomes a problem and end up, you know, going into a depressed mood or a depression or obesity, high blood pressure. All of those things trickle from us not regulating our stress and us not regulating the worry and the anxiety. It's not that we have it, because we all have it in some capacity. It's just about how long we allow it to linger. So being aware of what you need, when you need, and being okay with pacing yourself and knowing that it's your timeline, and not doing the comparison rat race is what I would say is some of the best ways to combat the anxiety, the depression, before it even onset. Now, once it onset, get with a mental health professional. You know, I know some of us are religious, we're spiritual, we're Christians, whatever, and we want to take it to God, and that's absolutely great. But I have a shirt that says, I thank God for my pastor and my therapist. They go hand in hand. So leaning into your spirituality, but also not letting it be all inclusive of what you need when you're depressed or experiencing anxiety.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I understand that. I know that, you know, once people are, you know, in that stressful state, they are, you know, trying their best to acquire that business, they may get, you know, a little besides themselves. They may doubt themselves sometimes. So we want to make sure that our listeners understand that even though you're out there, you know, as they say, grinding hard to get that business started, you know, don't just discourage yourselves. And so we just wanted them to know that, you know, health is important, to get that support system that you say that you have, even talk to a minister that they may have to go ahead and continue on with what they're doing. Ms. Bell, we want to thank you so much for coming out today to speak to our listeners about mental health, because we feel like, you know, generational wealth is important, but our health is important as well, because you're not going to be able to gain that generational wealth without having a helpful lifestyle. So again, thank you again for joining us. Just thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
I definitely appreciate it. And also for the listeners to really understand that the platform of everything is being well rested and making sure that they get their sleep, because the other part of me is a professional sleep strategist where I help high achiever entrepreneurs find balance and harmony between rest, peace, and sleep. So understanding that grind it out, grind till you die mentality is not the right way. It's unhealthy. When you sleep, your body is energized, your mind energized, your creativity increases. So that is what I should have led in with, but definitely understanding that the value of waking up around the same time and going to bed around the same time, because when you're an entrepreneur, your schedule is yours. And sometimes that is too much freedom, right? Because no one's telling you what time to get up and what time to go to bed, but starting to tell yourself. But I do appreciate the opportunity to speak with your listeners and hope that something was said that will help them to create harmony as they are on their journey to family legacy.
Well, if you like, let's elaborate on that rest period. I understand that when people start a business, they work a lot of hours, because you have to put forth that energy, because they say, you know, if you don't put forth the energy or put in the time or put in the work, they don't get the rest, correct? So what would you say, per se, would be a good timeline for rest? Because I know the average doctor says adults should get at least 7 to 8 hours of rest. And I know as an entrepreneur, you would say you're entrepreneurs, your business, you can start when you want, you can open when you want, close when you want. So what is a good rest time period for someone who has already started their business?
Okay, so rest and sleep are two different things. So yes, mm-hmm. For sleep, 7 to 8 hours. Rest looks like how you individually choose to define rest. That's one of the reasons why that I help individuals understand their rest ethic and their rest style. Because like for me, resting doesn't necessarily look like let's lay on the couch. Sometimes it looks like switching gears to a different project that use a different part of my brain or allow me to be creative in another outlet. So rest can be different for everyone, but it's important that they identify what is restful. Like vacationing is restful for me. It also re-sparks my creativity. Sometimes, yes, binge watching a show is rest, but oftentimes for me, rest looks like instead of reading book A that's about mental health, I'm reading book B that's about, you know, praise and worship are about something else, that can be rest. But as far as sleep, yes, the doctor recommendation of on average 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night is accurate. And for those of the entrepreneurs that choose to get less, research shows that if you're getting less than 6 hours of sleep, if you're getting 6 to 7 hours of sleep on average, that you're increasing your mortality rate by 7%. If you're getting less than 6 hours of sleep on average, your mortality rate increased by 13%. So if I wanted to put that in numbers that we could feel, that the average life expectancy in, for Americans is age 77. That 13% takes 10 years off of your life just by not going to sleep. So I tell the fellow entrepreneurs that that's grinding it out, I literally tell them, what you guys take 3 hours to do, it may take me an hour and a half to do because my brain and my body has slept well. And so it's functioning at its optimum speed. So yes, I understand you got to put in the hours to get the work, but if you put the proper hours in bed and asleep, then your wake hours are more impactful. They're more energized. You are more productive in it, and you're more creative.
Wow. So we are really working ourselves into a grave.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when I tell people that, they're like, are you serious? I'm like, yes. And then for us, 15 leading causes of death, right? 7 of them are connected to sleep deficits. And when I poll a room of Black and brown women, that third of Americans that don't sleep goes to 2/3 for us. It goes from 33% to 66%. So, and that's part of our, the culture of Black African-American is that we believe that you have to be moving to be productive and that to sit and rest is that you're lazy. I know for me, I grew up with, you know, the idle mind is the devil workshop. Why are you sitting there? Go do something. So if I sat down for too long, my mom would send me to do some other task. And so we grow up with that. We think that that's thriving, but it's really not. It's really putting us closer to death, to be honest, like not to be morbid, but that's the truth. And so I would just challenge the listeners, just try it out. Try to go to bed around the same time. Try to wake up around the same time for a week or two to give yourself at least 7 hours of sleep, not 7 hours in the bed, because some people have trouble falling asleep. And this is part of what I do in my coaching program, Sleep Your Way to Wealth, is to help them fall asleep faster, because we're supposed to fall asleep between 10 and 15 minutes it should take to fall asleep. Well, when I poll a room, guess what? About 60 to 70% of the people in the room are taking longer than 10 to 15 minutes to fall asleep. So you really have to give yourself a little bit more than 7 hours in bed if you know you have trouble falling asleep. But just trying it out, because people say, oh, I love your energy and da 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 da. I had another podcast that started at 8 a.m. So I was up before 6 o'clock this morning. I didn't drink any caffeinated anything, nothing but water and vitamins went in my body. And then I have this one next. I have the energy that I have because I give my body and brain time to sleep so that it does its job for me. And I run 2 businesses while doing it. And I'm a wife and I'm a mom and a sister and a friend. I have all those roles that everyone else says that they have that makes them too busy or prevents them from starting a business or carrying on a business. I am all of that and a business owner of 2 companies, not 1.
Wow. So, and that, you know, when you don't get that rest period and get that sleep, that affects our generational wealth. So how do we teach our people to do better in that aspect?
For those of us who have kids, we can simply say, you know, go take some time to rest. Or it's okay for you to play the video game a little bit longer. I recognize that that's one way that you relax after school, that that's the way that you decompress. Changing the language, literally just changing the language of what was given to us. Do the opposite, where when we couldn't sit still, or if we looked like we were having too much fun or too much leisure, our parents put us to work. Acknowledge when your kids are participating in leisure and affirm them for taking the time to decompress and do something that they enjoy, and then doing it ourselves and letting them see. Like, my son knows, my household knows about my sleep. Even people outside of my household. If I'm texting someone and it's like 9:50, they like, all right, well, I know you're getting ready to go to bed. You surely right. Because by that 10 o'clock, I'm shutting everything down. I'm shutting it down, going to bed. And so one, you start to set those boundaries around your sleep and your rest to prioritize it. People around you start to notice. If you have children, nieces, nephews, anyone under the age of 18, start to affirm the leisure, because their generation, believe it or not, in the millennial generation, they got the right idea. They're understanding what it takes. They're prioritizing their mental health. And that's one of the reasons that we're seeing a bigger increase of successful entrepreneurs in the generation, the millennial generation and under, because they have prioritized their mental health. They'll leave a job real quick if it's not working for their mental health. And while the, I guess what, 38 and older or 40 and older, some of us will look at them like, that's your third job in 5 years? Because we take pride in being on a job for 20 years. Well, I say we, because I can't be part of that, because I don't take pride. If it didn't work for me, I would leave the job. So they have the right idea around mental health, wellness, and prioritizing themselves. So maybe the older generation could just listen to the younger generation and follow their lead.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I just had a conversation with my niece, who is 28 years old, and she just quit her job for another job. And I did. I was that person that looked at her and said, you leaving your job? That was a good job. Like, you know, I guess I'm that generational X. I was born, you know, around a family where our parents taught us, hey, keep a job for 30 years. You need to stay at that one job. But then when I looked at my niece and I saw her changing jobs, I was like, girl, you only had that job for 1 year. And she was like, Amy, we do this differently. We don't keep staying at no job, you know. But I didn't think of it in the aspect of, you know, rest. You know, she needed to change that because she was resting herself or just changing her mindset. I didn't see it in that aspect, but now that you've explained it, it makes sense, you know, because like I said, we were taught from our parents and our grandparents that you're supposed to stay at that job for so long. So thank you so much for enlightening me on that point, because I really thought, you know, like you said, I was looking at her crazy, like, why are you changing jobs so much?
Well, thank you for sharing and being transparent. And you're absolutely right. Our parents did teach us that because it was like a badge of honor to say, I've been working with this company for X amount of years. But what wasn't said is that I've developed blood pressure and ulcers and have a hard time sleeping at night. I've been at this job for 20 something years instead of choosing to do something different. And while my age sometimes, depending on the research, will have me as a Generation X or a millennial, I choose to be an Xennial, because long before it was a thing, I was already with that with work. So I think the longest I worked, I started working when I was 14 years old, took a break for about a year or so with my son to stay at home with him, which you can see working at 14 is that generational mindset of you gotta go to work, you need to work hard. But in my course of my career, the longest I worked for any one place was 5 years. And when I hit year three, I said, oh, this is the longest I've worked a job. Because if that environment became toxic, if it became stressful, if I felt like it was doing more harm than good, I just felt like, you know what? I have options and choices. Let me find something else. Or if I could move to a position that allowed me to create a greater impact, then I didn't mind moving. So a year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever it was like, what works for me, and then how do I create the next greatest impact? And so that is literally now a whole generation of people. That's their mindset, instead of a few sprinkled here and there. And if we be honest, those of us that are interviewing for employees are not looking at longevity. We're looking at stability and mindset. We're looking at stability in their ability to initiate tasks and complete them. We're not going like, oh, well, why you were only here for 6 months or 3 days? Now, if there's a huge gap, of course, that's inquired about. But outside of that, it's not the bread and butter of being a good employee anymore to work somewhere for extended period of time.
So what words would you want to leave with our listeners before we close?
Follow your passion. If there is something in your gut that's telling you you should be doing something different from what you're doing, listen. Get resources behind you. As Black and Brown people, there are so many resources available to us that were not in previous years, some that we've created ourselves, some that spaces have been created for us. There's different agencies like or.gov and Small Business Administration that will support and help you elevate your business. Do it the right way the first time, which means research, understand what the market is, but also set it up correctly. We're not going to be the people selling candy out the house anymore and frozen Kool-Aid, what we used to call cool cups. You know, have your LLC, have your business banking, be ready so you don't have to get ready. So, because there's so many opportunities. And do not allow the lack of support to stop you. Do not allow everybody else is doing it to stop you, because for every person that has an idea, there is a market for them. And then most of all, take care of your mental health, including your sleep hygiene, because I guarantee you, I am a living example that you can smash your goals, you can achieve your goals, you can live out your dreams from a rested place.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you can. Thank you so much again for joining us. We are Iota Phi Lambda Sorority Incorporated, which is the first African-American business and professional sorority. And we are a part of Epsilon Phi Chapter. And you can visit us more on our social media platforms, which are on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you again, Ms. Bell, for joining us. And we do hope everything is successful with your business, both of them. You stated that you have two businesses. So we wish you well on both of your businesses. And we thank you again for allowing our listeners to learn that even though we are in the midst of trying to gain generational wealth, our health is very much important. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And you can find me on all social media platforms as well at IML Bell.
Yes, ma'am. We will definitely put that out there for you. And thank you again, our listeners, for joining us on our EFI podcast with professionals. We'll see you again later.